You're tuned to Perspectives, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon, I'm Louis Sines, your host for Perspectives, and joining us today generally is my producer. Today he is my co-host, and that is Dennis Wu. He's also the host of Morning Jazz, Monday through Friday, and he's here with us as we are being joined by David Thaxton and Julie Zimmet to talk about the National Issues Forum. And if you all remember, when I first started here in 1990, gosh, that was a long time ago, I used to do some interviews about the National Issues Forum. And so if you've forgotten what those were about, or if you haven't attended one in a while, David and Julie are here to help us out with that. And Dennis, thank you very much for helping me out today.
Thank you. Thank you for having us all here.
David and Julie, let's talk about National Issues Forum. What is that, and how did it get started, and how long has it been here in El Paso?
Well, National Issues Forum started when a group of foundations got together, the Kettering Foundation, the Public Agenda Foundation, the Johnson Foundation, and they were seeking a way to get people in our communities to talk about complicated public issues. They felt that we have elected officials and bureaucrats make important decisions when those decisions really belong with us. It's up to the citizens to decide what our country needs to do when it comes to the complicated and critical issues.
What kind of issues are you talking about? Obviously, when you say national issues, what may be important to me might be important to you, might not be important to David or Dennis. However, there are certain things, regardless of what's important to you, it affects all of us.
That's right. And we have shared values in this country, even though our political philosophies may be very different. So we're trying to have the kind of conversation where we get to the values behind the issues, because that's where we're going to figure out what we need to do as a country. David and I politically have about nothing in common. But we've still learned to talk together about these complex issues. And when we talk, we can start finding out things that we both agree on and actions that we both want the country to take.
Recently, you had a discussion on bullying, which has gotten, I think, out of hand in our schools. And I think the discussion went quite well. But up front, we're now looking at the issues of Social Security. I'm a baby boomer. I'm 58. My counterpart is a baby boomer as well. And our issue is, should we even be leaning on Social Security at all as a form of retirement?
And that's what we're going to look at on March 26th, which is our next forum on Social Security. We have to figure out what it is we're going to do, because what we're doing now isn't going to work for very much longer. There's not enough money.
Obviously. You know, I think that the concept may have been good at the beginning and such, and had they put away the money that has been collected through the years, it would be a self-sustaining program. But it's not been treated that way. They've been using, obviously they started paying out Social Security to some seniors early on that had not contributed very much to the program, because it had just started. And it's been young people paying in and the money going back out to seniors. And that worked when there were a whole lot more young people than there were seniors. But now we've tipped that. You know, you mentioned you're a baby boomer, and that's exactly what's happened. The baby boom came along, and those baby boomers are now joining the over 65 crowd. And every day we're having more and more people qualify for Social Security, and there's just not enough young people as there were years ago when it started to be funding the program. And it's each day it gets in a little bit more financial jeopardy.
I believe when the program started, there were 144 workers for every retiree. Okay. And very few people lived past 65. Today, there are 3 workers for every retiree.
Oh, my gosh.
And the average age, I think most people are living to the average age of, 78, 79
About
years
that.
Old.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that just needs to be looked at and such, and that's what we'll do. And March 26th on KCOS, we'll have an hour and a half live program. It's very interactive. We'll have about 15 to 20 selected individuals on a panel discussing it. And our steering committee goes to great lengths to make sure that we have a very well-balanced panel of people and to share all the different perspectives. And we try to get some young people involved and such. You mentioned the last topic that we had was on youth violence, and obviously that was a more youth-related, so we had maybe more youth than we usually do. But we try to have some young people, some old people, different backgrounds and men, women, different age groups and everything else to make sure that it's a good balanced panel of viewpoints and such. Some of the youth that we had on our last panel, and they did an excellent job, were not too excited about this topic because it seems distant to them. And quite frankly, it may not be around when they get to that age, or it may be greatly changed, but it's something that's probably going to affect them as much or more than some of us, and they need to take an active participation in the discussion.
I would think that it would affect at least the next two, maybe three generations, because the pitfall of the whole thing is, and you brought it up, Julie, three workers for every one retiree versus 144-1 way back when this started. My gosh, that you're not feeding anything into the kitty.
It's a very difficult situation. And the sooner we do something about it, the sooner we can assure that whatever form we choose is there for succeeding generations. But if we don't do something about it, we're not going to be able to continue the system as it is now past, I believe, 2036.
Right.
And that's going to come soon.
Oh, really fast. Faster than any of us at this table really wanted to happen. And you know that's going to be. But there's no way that I can see to fix it.
There's several ways. And the way our forums get framed is we start off with a short starter tape so that the viewers can get up to speed with the conversation as to what the panelists have already seen in a book prepared for them. And then they propose three suggested solutions, choices, alternatives for the framework of the discussion. That doesn't mean that we're limited to those three choices, but that frames how we'll go about discussing. And we try and spend 20 minutes on each one, giving it their full due, and we make sure that there's people that represent each viewpoint in the studio to lobby for that and everything else. But I can be honest with you, when I first got involved with this probably 25 years ago, I came from a debate background and thought, wow, I get to get on TV and air my viewpoints, I'm there and such. But it's really not that kind of a format. It's information sharing and listening format. And quite frankly, I don't know how we're going to solve this problem with the atmosphere and that we have in Congress right now, because during the time that I've been involved with this, we seem year after year to become more partisan and more polarized and not speaking to one another, and both parties penalize those that reach out and cross the line to the other party to try and solve issues. And that's basically what we're trying to do, is we're trying to get people of differing viewpoints to share those viewpoints but listen to the others and find commonality. And it's a different way of talking than we're seeing in Congress right now.
And Julie, you mentioned something before we started the program, the fact that there are people out there with professional degrees who can't get a job, or people who do have professional degrees have jobs, but they're minimum wage jobs. They're not jobs that, a job is a job. Some people say thank you for that. But at the same time, because of the economy the way it is, and because, as you mentioned, that you and David can talk about certain things regardless of your differences, unfortunately, there are some people who still aren't doing that, and they'll say, it's a Republican issue or it's a Democratic issue. It's an American issue.
All of our issues are American issues. They affect each and every one of us, and they'll be around for a long time. Not any of our issues has a perfect solution, but they all have lots of room for improvement. And that's what we need to do, is figure out how to step forward together and decide to take action. Because really what David said is happening in Congress is absolutely correct. But chances are it's not going to change until we demand that it changes. I mean, we are the hope of the country, never more than now. So it's really important for us to get involved, to learn how to listen to each other, and really start demanding that Congress follow our lead.
I agree. I think one of the things that we need to really focus on, especially for our listeners who are just barely tuning into this issue of perspectives and the National Issues Forum, is that it's a nonpartisan thing that we need to get into in terms of dialogue. We're all in it together. We need to all help fix this together. Elsewise, we're all going to suffer from the consequences of it.
And that's the way it is on almost every issue that we address. And through the years, we've addressed almost, you know, every issue you can imagine of national importance, and some of them two or three times, you know, 6-7 years apart to see how we are. You know, I can recall when we were talking about the $3 trillion debt, and now look at it and such. So each issue, you know, we spend some time on, and these are done throughout the country and in thousands of communities in different formats. Some are our Chamber of Commerce based supported. Some are education university based. Some are church based forums. We've been lucky here. An offshoot of Leadership El Paso Alumni Association that started this, but we've partnered up with a bunch of different groups that have become the basis of our steering committee, and we invite anybody that comes on the program and for one issue maybe that likes the way the conversation took place to join our group and continue on looking at others as well. And nationally, they have forwarded the results of this to Congress, and I've even been fortunate enough to go to Washington and participate when we presented the results of one of our issues to lawmakers and legislators and such, and said, look, this is what the conversation that took place in El Paso, and it was mixed with the conversation that took place in Atlanta and the one that took place in Dayton and, you know, and everything else, and they were all presented this, and so hopefully the legislators listen and can see what's the viewpoints of the citizenry. And this is a little bit different. Lots of times you may be, you know, fortunate enough to be included in a poll, but, you know, it's just a pollster that calls you in the middle of dinner and they ask you, you know, what's your opinion on this, and you give a knee-jerk reaction and everything else. This is citizens getting together, discussing it, and trying to come, you know, together with common viewpoints. And I think it's a very good discussion.
Because of what you mentioned, you know, whether it be Cincinnati, whether it be Cleveland, anywhere else where they may have a National Issues Forum meeting and they're asking questions, how different are we here along the border from other cities across the United States?
For a long time, they've been looking at the results of our forums in a very particular way. Our minority population in El Paso is the precursor of a trend that the rest of the country is going through. So our demographics, although more Hispanic than the country will be for quite some time, if ever, it's still reflective of what the country is going to look like and what the country needs to think about. I think other communities may be better educated, but no community has better values than ours. So we are a really perfect place for people to get together and talk across their differences. And some of the other things that happen is when we have conversations with some of the people, a lot of the people aren't accustomed to knowing that their opinion counts. You know, with this program, they find out that there are people who listen to them and their opinion does count. And on our television show, we take calls from people watching the show and we put them forward to join in the conversation because everybody here needs to become a part of the solution.
Do you find that sometimes when they ask somebody a question, they don't answer what they think or what they feel? They answer what they think the answer should be, what makes them look good. For example, if you go to the mall and somebody's asking you a question, how many times do you exercise in a week? They say, well, 7, you know, because they want to look good. So how accurate are those answers? Or is it pretty much skewed?
Well, we're not a poll, so we have a certain advantage.
Okay.
And we are also not set up on a debate format. So we're not trying to listen to prove people wrong, which really is the way we do things culturally in this country. We've all been trained in a debate format. So when you listen to make people right, it becomes obvious that there isn't a right answer. And the way the issues are set up in terms of the format, every approach has something you'll like in it, but it'll also have something you don't like in it. So it's not set up to have a right answer. And we have a lot of teachers involved in what we're doing. but they're encouraged when they moderate not to teach to an answer because we don't have one. Where we're heading is where people choose. And we used to do two different surveys. We'd do a survey of people's opinions when they walked in the door, and then we'd do a survey of people when they walked out the door to try and capture just to see if people were thinking about the issue was what we were looking at. So what we looked at was the movement between how people looked at the issue. So we didn't look at 78% said this. What we looked at is 23% changed. And it's important because what we need to do is just start looking afresh at these issues. It's not to a specific answer, but it's finding our shared values.
Obviously, because National Issues Forum has been around for a long time, it's been through a lot of administrations. So what are the responses? What kind of action have you received from the various administrations, presidential administrations I'm talking about, when they see the results of the National Issues Forums from across the country?
It really varies. I think on average we've had more success with members of Congress because different committees are able to localize the results. We've had good success in involving different lawmakers with our issues over the past. But I had the opportunity to go to the White House talking about National Issues Forums in some years. And one year I went to the Social Security Administration. I also got to speak with a group of Russians right about the time when Gorbachev had taken over and was trying to figure out whether these people really meant what they said about. The opportunities that this program has provided is amazing in the different eras of important people who are listening. Is pretty staggering. They're not really accustomed to getting information that's not from a poll. And they're not accustomed to getting information from groups that aren't special interest groups. And we're neither a poll nor a special interest group, so what we have really adds importantly to the conversation.
And as Julie mentioned, there's people that are very surprised and pleasantly surprised that they're someone is interested in their opinion and that they were able to express it in that regard and they weren't aware of this type of format and such. And I know through the years we've had where do we attract our audience? You know, obviously we thank you for this interview and it'll go out and hopefully some people will hear it and tune in. I know some people are just, you know, channel searching with their remote and they come across something that sounds interesting or they recognize somebody so it may be the first time they've ever watched it or such. Or somebody that's been invited to the panel who's never even heard of the program before and is exposed to it for the first time and maybe tells their friends and their friends watch it and such. Because like Julie said, it's interactive. You can be watching from your living room and they show a phone number on the screen and you can phone in and say, you know what, I'd like to respond to what the lady in the red sweater just said and such. And they pipe those conversations into the studio. And of course, the moderator just interrupts for a moment, and we listen to the speaker on the phone, and then we go back to our discussion. And so it's a way for different people to participate.
One of the things that I noted most about the National Issues Forum and how you're describing how people interact, I must ask you this: over the years that you've been doing this, have you found a decline in people willing to discuss?
I think people are always willing to discuss, but it's a little harder for people to come forward. We used to do community forums all over the city and hold it open. We found that those weren't as successful, that people need more of a personal invitation today to come out. It's really the Department of Communications at UTEP that holds our public forum that we do now prior to the television show. It's harder to get people to just come out and talk when they don't necessarily see their place at the table.
I used to moderate one of those pre-televised forums in the community and such, and then I'd come on to the television panel afterwards, and I did so in a dual role. One, I was there to represent my own viewpoint and express that, but I felt an obligation to even express some of the viewpoints that occurred in my forum even though they may not be my viewpoint. I would bring up and say, well, you know, I moderated a forum, you know, last Tuesday, and some of the things that got said were, and those people that participated in those forums that were watching felt validated by the fact that, gee, I said that. He just repeated what I said, and it was just added another perspective. And Louis, you mentioned, you asked, you know, were people willing to express their true feelings and such. One of the topics that I'll visit two of the previous topics we did. One was on alcoholism, and obviously we were sitting in our steering committee meeting, and we said, geez, it would be great to, you know, have somebody who's an alcoholic on the panel. It could, you know, express. Yet we found reluctance for anybody to come forward and do that because they didn't really want to out themselves or admit that on the air and everything else. However, during the course of the evening, we got calls from about a half dozen people who admitted they were an alcoholic because they were watching. They thought their viewpoint needed to be mentioned, and they could do so anonymously. And I mean, it was unless somebody recognized their voice, but they were getting their viewpoint out of there, and they appreciated the such. And the other topic that relating to what Julie was saying, how we used to do the pre-forums and polls and after-forum polls, there was a topic years ago on AIDS and such like that. And one of the choices was to provide free needles to people. And I had the viewpoint, are you crazy? I mean, I was just so opposed to that, you know, that why should we do that? Until exposed to the viewpoint during the course of the evening that, you know, anybody could catch AIDS. Obviously, drug use and some other ways are more contributing and higher likelihood and everything else. But anybody could contract AIDS from bad blood or different things like that. And if providing free needles to the community lessened the number of people with AIDS out there that might give it to me, you know, gee, that's, you know, so, you know, when you sit there and you actually listen to the other thing people are saying, it can change your viewpoint on the overall issue. And I didn't go from one side to the other, but I left the room thinking, geez, you know, that's an angle I hadn't considered previously. Maybe it's, you know, so.
But I'd also like to open up the opportunity to host a forum to any of your listeners. Anybody who has a group of 10 or more who's interested in any of the topics that we're doing or have done, we can send issue books and we can send a trained moderator. We have moderators trained in both English and Spanish. And we'd be happy to host a forum for you all. And if it's one of the topics we're doing on TV, we'd like to have a representative of the group that has the forums.
Oh, that's marvelous. Phone number to contact you?
751-6481. And just ask for Julie.
You know, that's such an important thing to include the entire community. I think sometimes the community at large feels as though it doesn't have a voice. And your forums give the voice back to the people.
Which is where it needs to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Louis?
Now, as far as the answers, after everybody has their National Issues Forum, what happens to all this data?
It really varies by the issue. One of the issues they're looking at is higher education right now. What we do is we send a DVD of our TV show in. And that's how they integrate what we're doing because they listen to the dynamics of the conversation a little differently. So we're not providing as much raw data as we used to. We're providing more of the experience to the analyzers. And the Kettering Foundation is still doing research on this, and the Public Agenda Foundation writes up reports for policymakers on these issues.
Now, as far as the questions themselves and what is going to be addressed the following year or the next time, who decides that?
Our steering committee decides that. There are 3 to 5 new issues published a year. Our agreement with KCOS is that we do not do an issue that doesn't have a starter tape because not everybody has the opportunity to find out what the format of the issue is and how it's framed and how we'll be discussing it. So we rely very heavily on the 3 to 5 new issues. And sometimes when things change, we go back to prior issues because these issues also extend over time. So not one of these issues that we've ever done before is over and solved. The energy crisis is still here. Immigration still matters. We're doing sustaining ourselves as our third issue, but we've also done healthcare. We may have Obamacare, but we haven't solved health care. And we're going to be revisiting all of our issues every few years, every time again. But the steering committee gets together every fall and decides what the issues are going to be that we discuss in February, March, and April.
Now, you, as far as deciding what is going to be put on the agenda, as far as the people at the various television stations, do you have the same people year after year, or do you have other different experts who might be kind of filled in on those particular areas?
Well, with the exception of some of the people on the committee who are a part of the panel, it's a different panel every time. And so we try and get people who have a certain perspective on the issues, but we also try and get people like us who are ordinary citizens. I mean, I'm a mover. I have no particular expertise in anything, but I'm still welcome.
And it's the moderator's job to make sure that all the topics, all the choices get their fair share and that nobody dominates and everything else. And having about six or seven of the steering committee on the panel every topic lends itself to that as well, because we've bought into the process of the conversation and can make sure that it you know doesn't deviate into a debate or stuff like that. And sometimes it just needs a jump start and we'll jump in and do that. But we really do like to have fresh faces on it each time, and not necessarily experts, but people that are have some perspective related to the issue that they can bring to the table.
I'm not sure if you still do this or not, but in the past, correct me if I'm wrong, you used to publish the questions or the issues in the paper.
The El Paso Times used to give us a page on Sunday, but their pages have gotten a little smaller and a little bit harder to get. So currently we're not publishing the questionnaire.
Okay, so we're talking about social media now. Is there a web page that people can go to find out more about National Issues Forum?
NIFI.org.
And what can they find on that page?
They can find out how to get involved. They can find out what the issues are that have already been discussed. They can put forward an issue that they think ought to be considered, because there are some critical issues like gun control that we haven't done yet. And in order for them to get the research and be written up, it takes people writing in and saying, this is an important issue that we need to discuss. And that phone number that I gave you, 751-6481, if anyone is interested in joining our committee, it's an open committee. And they're welcome to call that number, and we'll tell them when the next meeting is and look forward to their participation.
Okay. Again, that number is 751-6481. We've been visiting with David Faxton and Julie Zimmet, talking about the National Issues Forum, which will be coming up shortly. What's the date again?
March 26th at 7 p.m.
March 22nd. At
26
at 6 p.m. And again, the number is 751-6481. Thank you very much for being with us here today.
And thank you.
Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Jason Martinez, and our producer is, and my co-host, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sines.